guys, welcome to Gen Z Talks, and I'm the host, Yuli Xu. This is the podcast where I invite Gen Zs or young people from all over the world to simply have conversations about our common interests, concerns, doubts, opinions, pretty much anything that we can talk about. What do Gen Zs think about relationships or marriage? How about education and work in different cultures? Do you all have similar main concerns? What are our goals in life? I hope that this podcast can encourage more young people to have meaningful conversations, cultural exchange, and be inspired to pursue all dreams and interests, because we're all so unique in our own way. Because of the pandemic, all conversations will be conducted via Zoom. I apologize for the less than ideal sound quality and ambient noise that might distract you guys from listening to this podcast, but I hope you guys can still enjoy. Thank you guys for joining today for our very first episode of Gen Z Talk. Welcome, Shine and Yaz. I guess I'll let you guys do introductions later. I'll do introduction first, a very brief introduction. I'm the host of Gen Z Talks. I'm Yuli Xu, and I am a fourth year college student in the United States studying linguistics at Georgetown University. I grew up in China, and I was raised in China, and came to the United States when I was 16. Yeah, I guess I'll talk about more about my stories later. So now let's popcorn to Shine.
Okay, great. Well, hello everyone. My name is Shine Ong. I am also a four-year student at Georgetown University studying international politics. I'm originally from Myanmar. But I moved to the Netherlands when I was 11, and then miraculously, I ended up at Georgetown. So, popcorn to Yasmin.
Hi, I'm Yasmin. I'm from Italy. I'm studying international relations in my third year at American College of Greece in Athens.
I want to talk about how we met each other, because I think it's always a really fun story.
Yeah, I guess like... Yuli and I met, I think, the first week of school, right? At Georgetown, like a freshman.
Is that you?
Yeah, I think so. Like it was during the barbecue. It was the first barbecue of the year, like where all the freshmen came and.
Wait, no, that's not how we met.
What?
No, you met me in like the, in Leo's, like the cafeteria.
You're right. You're right. So yes. No, that part has already been over. I think it's about like the second or the third week of school, right? Nobody kind of knew each other yet. And one of the other person that I met, Suzanne, I believe, brought Yuli over to our table for lunch at our dining hall called Leo's. And I mistook her for someone else who I like previously met at one of the events. And she corrected me very sternly. I remember she was wearing this like black blouse and really red lipstick. That's why I mistook her for that. So yeah, and then we started talking.
Actually, in my memory, it was kind of different. I was sitting by myself actually in the cafeteria, and I was facing, like my back was facing you, and I was eating my own meal like a lonely freshman. Dude, we gotta talk about like the American University freshman year experience. It's so amazing. Anyway, so I was like eating my own meal like a lonely freshman, right? And then you like tapped my back or something, and you were like,
what?
Crystal? And I was like, I'm not Crystal.
Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm like mistaking it for another memory, but it's been so long.
Yeah, well, that was a great story anyway.
Oh, sorry. I have a bit of a lag, but I think our story, how we met, is also pretty amazing.
That was so cool.
We met in the first week of classes of, it was a year ago. Can you believe it was a year ago? We were at my uni's Starbucks, and I saw Yuli with like a huge green drink. And I was like, wait, that looks really cool. I want to know what it is. So I just went to her and asked her, what are you drinking? And we got to talking.
Came up to me like bluntly, like, what are you drinking? And I was just like, what?
Yeah. I really wanted to know what was in that cup. So then we kind of got to talking. We exchanged numbers and we agreed to go out in the city and like next week. And eventually we even went on a trip together, like in the northern parts of Greece. We just like, just this random Starbucks meeting. And I really like that.
Yeah, we went on a road trip and then like Yasmin drove and then I took like two of my friends and then we all just like went around Greece. It was so nice.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway,
really
I thought the how we met each other was so like, how do you call it, serendipitous? I don't know that word.
I just know from the movie Serendipity and then like that's just what I connected to.
Yeah, because it was the first week of school. Like I, as a study abroad student, you know, like I always wanted to meet more like local people. And then Yasmin just like came up to me and I was just like, what? Like how? I thought I have to make more efforts in like making friends in Greece, but then she just came up to me. So I was just, so like our combos were super smooth because she was like, oh, like, what is this? And I was like, green latte, you want to taste it or something? Like, and then she's like, oh yeah, that's amazing, blah, blah, blah. Oh, what's your phone number? What's your WhatsApp number? And then we just started like, it was like a speed dating stuff.
Yeah, but it was so much fun, honestly. I cannot believe it was a year ago. Yeah. I mean, we really had some good times there, that pre-COVID, pre-lockdown, everything was beautiful.
So you basically have like this whole pattern of people coming up to you and introducing themselves.
Yeah.
And then you later go on trips with, like, I remember like the whole friend group and, you know, and us like went to like New York and LA, like.
Oh my God, yeah.
Spring break.
Yeah, I think we ought to talk about like freshman year experience. And I wonder if it's the same, like, in Greece, I guess, would guess me, but I guess like the American College of Greece kind of has like an American vibe as well, so I don't know how much difference it's gonna make, but I guess we can start with our like freshman experience. So for me, like, even though I'm from China, like I came to the US like pretty early, I would say like third year of high school. So I was kind of like used to like American culture like since like high school. But then when I like came to Georgetown, it was still like kind of a shock in terms of like how you find friends and how you like awkwardly approach people. And I remember like one thing that I struggled against was I try to like shape myself into like someone I want myself to be instead of just myself, because I like fell into like the peer pressure of like being very, very outgoing and then very, very like easygoing, like everyone can talk to me. But I guess like my personality is kind of like that, but I still felt like I wasn't being myself.
Yeah, felt that. I was just trying to meet everyone possible, like covering all of my bases. I was terrified of not meeting anyone, not having any new friends, because I went to a new country. I didn't know anyone. And I was like, no, I need to meet everyone on the first day, orientation day. That's it. If I don't find anyone today, I am lost forever. Like, it was, yeah, I was just trying to really cover all my bases.
Yeah, I think it's really relatable because I was also international students coming to like this whole new country. But to be honest, like, you know, I wasn't even used to speaking English 24/7 at the time. You know, I went to a Dutch high school where I basically, you know, spoke Dutch all the time, except for two periods a week in which we speak English. But, you know, it was just, I think, really hard for me academically to take classes in English completely. And I remember like taking notes in different languages and then translate it, you know, later, basically, and synthesize them. But in terms of making friends, I don't think I had like too much trouble making friends, because it was kind of natural for me to be able to just like, speak to people about, you know, Well, I knew that like a lot of people were also feeling the same way, right? So, you know, I remember like during convocation, which is basically like an opening ceremony for freshmen, right? For all the first year students to kind of just like introduce yourself to people around you. And then, you know, this is how I met like Brian and like other people, for example, which is like some of our common friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I definitely get the whole, you know, peer pressure of trying to be as outgoing as possible, try to go to all the activities, all the parties, all the cultural events. I think I signed up for like 20 in the beginning. So it was ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me personally, it was a lot of minority in every way, because first of all, I'm an international student. Second of all, like, you know, Georgetown is predominantly white. I think right. We can all agree, if you didn't know before. So
no, I didn't.
Yeah, I think that was kind of hard for me, because throughout high school, especially when I first came to America, it was already like a big culture shock. Like what Shine said, like I wasn't used to speaking English. I wasn't used to taking English classes. So like throughout high school, I felt like my confidence just kind of like went like down, because I'm not a mainstream person anymore. Because when I was raised in China, I used to always be the mainstream person. And like, I was never like an outcast. So all of a sudden, when I came to America, like, I don't know memes. I don't know people's jokes. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know when people say like, chill, like, what does that mean? Like, so just like a lot of stuff when people like organically make conversations, I just can't like join.
Yeah, I think like that's so relatable for me. One of the things that shocked me completely about, I guess, American culture, American way of speaking, was that when they say how are you, they don't expect you to kind of answer, or they don't really care. Basically, I have instances where they say how are you and they just walk away, and that basically means hi, right? So
I wasn't sure
how my day was, but then the person's already gone. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Or like they just leave a conversation without saying bye. For me, right. That was really weird. Because I met a lot of American study abroads at my uni, and you know, you're just having a conversation and suddenly the person just leaves and without saying bye. And I don't know if it's just the people that I met that were weird, or if that's a normal thing, because they do that also in the movies. They just like, they're on the phone and then they suddenly just like put it down without saying bye. So I never know if it's actually just a movie thing or a real thing, but that was really weird. I just was trying to talk and the person just left, and I was like, oh, okay. Bye.
I'm really curious, Yasmin, about your experience moving from Italy to Greece. I guess like inter-European.
Yeah, it's very close. It's not a big move for sure.
Right. Because I also lived in Europe, I know a little bit more about you know, the differences, obviously. But I was just wondering how it was for you as a student.
As a student, first of all, the fact that they're both European countries was so helpful, because I didn't do anything. I just booked my ticket and went to Greece and then started university. Like, I didn't have to think about any visa, any other things. I just started, enrolled, and I was there. And also, I'm lucky enough to have part of my family living in Athens, so I didn't even have to think about accommodation. I just went and lived with my grandma. So like, I feel like Italian and Greek cultures are very similar. You know, the Mediterranean vibe, friendly people, food, you know. But for me, the difference was mostly the transferring from, what's it called, a countryside town with literally no people, to a city. That was the most amazing thing for me, what I was really looking forward to. And
I guess like a follow-up question is kind of, you know, did you go to like an Italian high school and then transfer to this American school, or did you go to an international school? And aside from going to uni, you obviously have to also engage with everybody outside of uni, right? I suppose that most of them, their English is not their primary language, so you will have to kind of converse in Greek, right? So did you already speak Greek, or how was that transition for you?
So in Italy, I went to public high school and schools in general, because that's the norm here. You just go to a public school. It's like the best kind of education that you can get here. I spoke Italian like in all of my high school and just general schooling experiences. So yeah, when I went to uni, it was my first time doing everything in English, and that was a bit of a shock. I mean, I had been speaking English my whole life with my mom, but never in an academic context. So that was a bit of a new page for me, especially when I did algebra in English. That was math in another language. That you, no, it's not okay. As for like outside of the university and speaking with other people, I kind of have a very basic understanding of the Greek language. I can get around. I understand much more than I can actually speak, but it's enough for me to either tell them, sorry, I don't speak your language, please help me in English, or to just kind of say, yes, no, give me this, please, thank you, you know, the very basic stuff. So also Greek people really speak English a lot. Like even the older generation have, they do speak English. If you're in a city especially, you'll find almost everyone speaking English. Obviously, if you go in a more remote areas, they might not, but it's very easy to get around without knowing the language.
That's so true. When I went to Greece, I was like, wow, time to immerse myself in a, you know, all Greek community. And then I went everywhere. Like, everybody seems like they speak perfect restaurants and like pastry shops and everything.
They have this thing where parents are obsessed with getting their children to speak English, and they will put them through like extra school language lessons. Like they have school, and then after school they have to go for the whole day to just do extra lessons, which is very interesting. It's very good for me personally, because I was managing to teach English to children as a part-time job, because it's something that they really aim to do. And I think it's very interesting, very different to my experience in Italy with the English language, where no one speaks English, and it's such a surprise if you speak English. They're like mind blown.
Really? That's so interesting.
Yeah.
In like China, it's the same. Like we, I think they consider English as a very prestigious language too. So like if you speak English, then immediately like you're just very talented, you know, or you have the privilege to speak the language.
Yeah. It's kind of a worldwide phenomenon, obviously, because, you know, English is such a useful language, I guess, in terms of the professional sphere or just like in a global sphere, like the amount of people who actually speak English, it's like, it's a lot, right? I think in terms of Burma or Myanmar, where I grew up, it's especially so, not only because of all the factors that I just mentioned about how useful it is, but it's also because of the colonial history. Mm-hmm. So, you know, previously it was a British colony, and they implemented this whole system of, you know, being able to basically administrating in English and keeping some of the people basically out of, I guess, a little bit out of touch. So it's still perpetuated because of their history, and speaking English is like a very much an elite thing.
So. Yeah, I feel like English is not only just the language, but also like a sign to like represent like how elite you are in some sense.
It's kind of a symbol almost.
Yeah. I think parents in China also do, it's very similar to Greece, where they sent, like, I've heard there's like trilingual, bilingual, like kindergartens, where parents send their kids to speak multiple languages, including English, like in since kindergarten. And they put so much, it's like almost as much as our college tuition. That's how much they pay like every year. At Georgetown, our tuition is like $70,000 every year without scholarship. $70,000. Yeah, it's a lot of
dang.
I know. Chinese parents send their, I mean, obviously if you have the abilities, then they send them to those kind of kindergartens to start their education, which is really shocking for me, because I feel like my kindergarten, I just kind of just like waddled through. But then now like all the parents place their kindergarten education so important.
That's so interesting. What about you, Shine? Like you, how was your experience with, you know, the languages and transitioning to the Netherlands, Northern Europe experience?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a while ago, obviously. Yeah. I grew up in a small town in Myanmar. It's called Michina, but it's like in the northern of Myanmar near the Chinese border. And we were surrounded by a lot of ethnic Chinese people, but also it was very, very diverse. Myanmar is actually a very diverse place. Not many people know that. So I grew up in this, you know, small town, and I went to a Taiwanese elementary school, actually, because because my grandparents are ethnically Chinese. And, you know, I learned, obviously, like Burmese and Chinese growing up and speaking those languages and learning a little bit of English, but basically the alphabet, and a couple of, you know, basic vocabulary. And when I moved to the Netherlands, it was definitely a big transition for me. I think in terms of language, it wasn't as hard for me as, for example, my parents, because, you know, I was emerging very quickly with the kids and just like playing around with people. So I pick up things very fast. But I think the bigger barrier for me were definitely the cultural stuff. I mean, the cultural and like the ways of living, I guess. I used to live in Amsterdam, in the western part of Amsterdam, where at the time before all the gentrification things started, it was kind of like the bad neighborhood, basically. And, you know, nobody goes outside in the winter, especially, right? It's like dead. You might see like 5 people in total a day walking like through the street. So it's a combination of factor, right? Like it's very cold, first of all. So that was really very difficult for me at the time. But
where like your family had the thief incident?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. that was a couple years after I moved there. I think I was maybe 15, 16, or maybe a little bit younger. But
scary. Tell your story.
Yeah, that was scary. So it was Queen's Day at the time, before the new king was inaugurated. So what it means is, I think on the 31st of April at the time, we will have this huge festival where everybody wears orange and everybody, you know, celebrate the queen's birthday. And there will be flea markets outside and et cetera, et cetera. So that specific year, my dad and I actually went to visit a family friend away from Amsterdam. So it was like in somewhere rural. But my mom stayed because she had to work, right? But when she came back home from work, she wanted to, you know, open the door, but she found out that the door was actually already open. So she was like, oh, okay, something's wrong, right? So she opened the door and basically saw our whole house, like basically taken like completely destructive, basically. Oh. And it was a mess. It was completely.
So someone just broke in. They weren't even like stealing.
Well, someone just broke in to steal stuff, I suppose. And they were just looking through everything. And, you know, we didn't lose that much stuff. But I think
it's still scary.
Yeah, it was really scary for my mom. And she was like calling us and crying.
Being alone, not fun.
Exactly. And she thought, you know, maybe the thieves haven't left yet. So maybe what if they're like hiding behind like a door or something, you know? So it was really terrifying. But we didn't lose that much. Like it was like some watches and like, you know, a ring or something. But I lost like everything that I saved basically since I went to the Netherlands.
It was like
piggy bank. Is it? Don't you think it's crazy? Like they basically took my piggy bank with all the things. It was kind of sad. It was very, very sad. yeah. But the neighborhood is much better though. Like they like gentrified it completely. A lot of, you know, like security has been improved, and they have taken like a lot of good measures.
Oh, that's good.
How do you like Netherlands and Burma? I'm not asking you to choose between any of them, or America. Like if you were to compare, like which aspect is better from which country?
Yeah, I guess like indeed, like I don't necessarily want to compare, because you know they all form like a very integral part of who I am right now. Mm-hmm. But if I were to, for example, speak about my Dutch experience, I think it definitely, you know, form a lot of the ways, I guess, I view the world. As in, I think the Dutch really pride themselves on being tolerant of everyone, right? Of the way you live, right? And I think, you know, for example, there I learned about the whole LGBTQ community and how well it was protected under the law and the, you know, basically the legal system and the whole system of the country, for example. I thought that was really, really cool. And having seen all of these like these measures that were really good to protect like minority groups and people who identify differently than the mainstream, as you previously said.
Did you feel like you were an outcast or like a minority when you were in
Yeah, I think that even though I was able to just like integrate and I was able to speak Dutch fluently after a couple of years and, you know, was enrolled in like a normal, exactly like Dutch public high school, right? I have friends, it was awesome. I still felt that I was not as well understood by other people just because, you know, I have this huge part of history and identity that I kind of left behind that people don't understand, right? So they will kind of see this one very one-dimensional aspect of my upbringing that obviously like didn't basically align with reality. So yeah.
What about Yaz? What do you think of the differences between Italy and Greece? And I guess you've also been to other countries, right?
Tell us. Yeah, this is just my experience for sure. But I feel like the Greek people are much more friendly and open, especially to foreigners, to strangers. Mm. Whereas in my experience, still the Italians, I feel like they're very much closed-minded. I not all of them, obviously, but in my experience, the majority of them are. And this is also from, you know, the people that I know and I've met in a small countryside town. So I repeat that, there's like literally no diversity. Everyone's the same. Everyone does the same things. You know, it's weird if you go for example, after high school, everyone just does the same thing. It's weird if you take a gap year, or it's weird if you go to another city to study other than the two most close ones. It's very small town mentality, but this is like what I'm used to. I'm sure that, for example, in Milan, Rome, and the big cities, it's much different. But the Italians that I know compared to the Greeks that I know are very much more closed-minded. Even though I'm not that different from the people where I'm grown up, like from appearances, I still felt very different from the people in my classes, for example, just because my mother was not Italian, and just because I could speak English, let's say, I still felt like I had different traditions, and you know, I just did things differently from them, and I felt really left out. They all were already friends, they all have like their summer things, they all go together in the summer in places, and I was just like, wait, in the summer I go to Greece or to Finland to visit my relatives. I don't go to the beach where you go. Like, it's little things, but I felt really left out for these things.
I remember you telling me about how because your mom speaks English, and when you speak English with her at school, you kind of felt you didn't want other people to hear you.
Oh no, yeah, I would totally tell her to speak Italian to me when she was near the school. And I didn't want anyone to hear me speaking English with her. I felt really embarrassed about that. And, you know, I felt like mocked for some reason.
Isn't English considered a prestige language in Italy?
Yeah, I mean, it is. But so I was the only one who spoke it. And that made me, it singled me out. And I didn't like that. But other than that, the mothers of the children were really like happy that I spoke English, but the children would be like, yo, you know, would make fun of me. Or this was in elementary school. But later on in high school, people really wanted to use my English skills for exams and tests and everything. So I guess.
Yeah, I guess we can go into our last section of today that I want to talk about is, I think we're all talked about, like, we're all like kind of diverse in terms of our identity and where we've been to. So like, what do you guys think, where would you guys go to like work or like settle for long term, or just like work for short term? Like, which cities or countries are you thinking of, or do you want to go?
This is something I've been thinking about for a long time as a senior, you know, almost who's almost graduating. Mm-hmm. I think I definitely have not, you know, come to an answer as to where I want to settle in terms of, you know, family, etc. But I definitely want to explore more. That's the definitive answer that I like came to basically. So I'm looking into, I guess, like other European cities that I might want to live in after graduation, or even in Asia, right? You know, obviously it's very dynamic, and I think it's a little bit better right now with COVID as well to go. Yeah, I think it's a very healthy mentality to kind of like keep on exploring for now. I don't want to like stress myself out too much by thinking about, oh, where exactly do I belong? And, you know, where exactly do I want to like raise my kids in? That's a bit, it's kind of like a little bit too far in the future, I think, right now. But yeah, those questions definitely are really important. And I kind of want to stress, I guess, to all the listeners right now who are feeling the pressure to not, you know, stress about this too much. And it's okay to not know.
I definitely agree. I watched a video of like this speaker in China called Fan Deng. I think he's very well known. And he said something about people's views. Like as a human, it's natural that our views are very limited. You can't plan all your whole life because that's just impossible. You can only see a certain limit. So just focus on the present, focus on where you can go and do the best at the present. And because your view is very limited, you never know what's going to happen. So I thought it was really, really inspiring. I think it kind of relieves our anxiety, like wanting to, you know, just be like, oh, I'll work here for 10 years and then get like, you know, get a senior position, blah, 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 get money.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it really kind of de-stresses you because you're like, okay, well, it's okay. It's good if I only think about the next, 1 year? It's okay, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I would say that my answer is the same. I literally have thought about this a lot, but have not come to a conclusion because there are so many places which I would like to explore and know about more before saying for sure that I would like to settle there. Mm-hmm. Having lived in the same place for 19 years of my life, I kind of feel like I would like to move around much more, which I have done during my gap year and by going to study abroad for sure, but I feel like I need even more. Sometimes I feel like I need a different lifetime to experience living in different parts of the world in different cities. Like, I love the idea of Northern Europe so much.
Yeah.
I like London. I like also Spain, Barcelona.
I want to go everywhere you just mentioned.
I want to go to Asia for sure. Like, I need to like live at least for 1 or 2 years in Tokyo. Like, come on, we need more time to do that, no? Exploring is the answer, traveling. Post-COVID for sure, but
I think pandemic really like limited people's imaginations, but I'm so glad you guys are still having these views and wanting to go further. I think I think that's it for today's Gen Z Talks first episode. Thank you guys so much again for being here, for taking this journey with me. I was nervous and I was anxious, but I think this episode went really well. Yeah, well, for the listeners, we'll see you guys next episode.